Well, good morning, church. Isn't it wonderful for us to be together, for us to worship the one true living God together, for us to share in communion with one another, and for us also to receive the word together? If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we recently spoke on Luke chapter 2, but I would like us to sort of continue the reading. So we're going to be from Luke chapter 2 and reading from verse 41. So Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 41. This is what the word of the Lord says. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among the relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. Lord, may you speak to us today. May our hearts and ears be open to what you want to say to us. May our eyes be open, that as we read these words, Lord, may there be sentences, words, phrases that leap off the page for us. Lord, may we understand more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And as we think about the close of 2019 and moving forward into 2020, Lord God, may you show us what you have done and what you are going to do in and through us. In your mighty precious name, amen. So to remind you of where we are in terms of this scriptural passage, Jesus has obviously been born. We know the Christmas story. There's been incredible things that have happened. The shepherds have appeared. We've also seen Jesus being presented at the temple when he was 40 days old, about 6 weeks old. We saw Simeon declaring that as he looked upon the face of Jesus and was satisfied, may we also be like that as well. There's also the prophetess Anna who was there as well. And then we come to this time where a period of time has now skipped over, that Jesus is now 12 years old. And we also notice something about the life of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus and the family, is that they would go to Jerusalem every year for the feast of Passover. That is a way of saying that they were devout people. They were devout followers of the law, and they wanted to keep it. There were laws within Deuteronomy that mentioned about the fact that you are supposed to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year in order to be able to celebrate together. The Feast of Passover was one of them. And I'm sure that we know the story of Passover. It reminds us of that time where the people of Israel were in Egypt, slaves for 400 years. And through God's great deliverance, God brought them out of Egypt. And just before he did that, there was one final plague, which was the killing of the firstborn. And that that the Feast of Passover is this reminder that that there was a lamb that was killed and its blood was placed over the doorpost of people, of people's houses, and that the angel of death that would come down would pass over the house and would not kill anyone that was within that house. So we know then that the Feast of Passover has been celebrated throughout history, not consistently, but it has been celebrated and continues to be celebrated today, both in Israel and around the world by our Jewish friends. And we see here that Jesus was one of those people that would go every year for the Feast of Passover. Now, there was this period of time when he is 12 years old. Yet again, they go up to Jerusalem. And you'll find this quite a lot within Scripture. Go up to Jerusalem. It's this literal sense in terms of that Jerusalem is on a hill. And it's higher. It's higher than places like Nazareth and so on. So it's this idea of going up to Jerusalem. Not even though on a map it may be going south. It's this idea of going upward toward Jerusalem. So the feast has ended. A whole week of celebration has happened. They're returning with Jesus. They're going down from Jerusalem now, returning to where they have come. And the boy Jesus, though, as we read, has stayed in Jerusalem. But the parents didn't know it. Mary and Joseph were unaware of this event. Now, I must confess that I've had similar things to this sometimes in the church here in regards of Sam. That sometimes you think, where is he? You know, we don't quite know where he is. But there's an assumption. I must confess, perhaps I shouldn't not too much admit this. But there is an assumption from me that he's probably somewhere else in the building. He's probably spending time with other boys and girls. He's out the back somewhere. He's running around somewhere. He's safe. He's enjoying himself. But you know, there's going to be that time where it's time for us to go home, and we'll have to call him. We'll have to find him. We find here that Jesus was not with the parents. He'd stayed in Jerusalem. But there was Mary and Joseph supposed that he was within a group. So we know something here as well about the travelling practice. That there wasn't just Mary and Joseph and Jesus and perhaps other close family members. There was a large pilgrim group that was travelling together. And this means, of course, that there is security together. There's safety in numbers. But it also helps us to understand why Mary and Joseph didn't see that Jesus wasn't around. Because there is a large group. How many? We don't know. It could be up to 100 people, perhaps, all travelling together. Family members, acquaintances and others. Perhaps other friends that they knew. That they're travelling together as a group. And therefore there is safety in numbers. And there is this assumption. He's probably safe because he's in the group somewhere. But after a day's journey, perhaps at the end of the evening, when it's time for them to set up camp, ready for the night, that it then occurs to them, has anyone seen Jesus recently? A day's journey during this time may have been anywhere up to about 20 miles travelling together. So they're a significant walking distance away from Jerusalem. The thought has occurred to them, where is Jesus? Now, I imagine that Mary and Joseph were particularly concerned about this, perhaps remembering, of course, remembering the Christmas story, remembering about the angel Gabriel, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, and now he's not with them. They don't know where he is. He's not with us. Where is he? And there must have been perhaps this sense of controlled panic. Perhaps there have been times in your own life where you've temporarily lost a son or a daughter. You're not really quite sure where they are. Perhaps you have a memory as well of being lost away from your parents. You don't know where they are. One of the stories that my parents will tell you is the story of my brother Tim, my younger brother. We were in Halifax, in a place called Peace Hall. It's peace as in pieces of cloth. And it's a very famous building. Around the edge of this building, it used to be a place where cloth was bought and sold. But nowadays, there's lots of little rooms where businesses set up shop. And I must have been very young, perhaps about four or five. Therefore, must have been around three, maybe four, maybe a bit younger. And we've wandered into one particular shop, and I can remember the moment. We've wandered into a shop. We've come out of that shop, we turn around, and we don't know where Tim is. And there is this controlled panic within my parents. Where is he? We go back into the little shop where we've just been. He's not there. But he was just there, but now he's not. So then they wander into the next shop. Perhaps he's wandered into there. He's not there either. And I'm not really quite sure how much time must have gone. Perhaps maybe even half an hour of controlled panic from my parents, wondering where my brother is. And eventually they find him. A woman had seen this little boy crying and had decided to help him and was wandering with him, trying to say almost like, is these your parents? Are these your parents? Are they here? Trying to help him. And eventually, of course, there is this great moment of reconciliation between my parents and my little brother in that he's now been found. But there is this period of time now within Mary and Joseph where they haven't yet found Jesus. They're looking for him. They don't know where he is. We can imagine that they must have got back to Jerusalem a lot quicker than perhaps a whole day's journey. Perhaps really hurrying back to get to Jerusalem. Even perhaps then with the lower numbers of just themselves. Perhaps then there is this that there is danger in going in travelling in a lower number. That there could be the robbers, reminding us of the story of the Good Samaritan, where you have an individual who's travelling by himself and ends up being robbed. Perhaps then Mary and Joseph recognise the potential danger in travelling back to Jerusalem. But they must do it. Why? Because they are in search of Jesus. It is after 3 days of searching that they then get to the temple. 3 days of panic. 3 days of worry. 3 days of concern. Perhaps there were moments of them praying, Lord God, would you help us to find our son? Help us to find Jesus. And it is then, after 3 days of searching, they find him in the temple. Now for us who know this story, perhaps those of us who are Christians that have grown up in church have heard this story in Sunday school and at other times, it's obvious to us. Of course Jesus is in the temple. Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. Of course he's going to be in the temple. But Mary and Joseph didn't anticipate this. They didn't expect this. And you can see from the wording that there is concern within them. They are so glad that they found him, but they're astonished at the fact that they found him in the temple. But what is Jesus doing? He's sitting with the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. But we also can see from the text that there is times where Jesus is giving answers as well. Jesus is listening to groups of people that at a later stage in his life he will directly challenge, that he is listening to their answers as they give them. He's asking them questions regarding scripture. But we see verse 47, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, of course, again, for us as Christians, of course we recognize that Jesus knows scripture and he knows the answers to scripture. The Bible ultimately is a biography. It is the Holy Spirit's biography of the Son. It's the reason why when Jesus is so easily able to quote scripture, because it is about him. He was there when it was composed, when it was written down. Indeed, he knew its contents before it was written, because he is God and therefore all knowledgeable. He knows it inside out, back to front, and all the other ways where we might imagine. Jesus knows scripture. Of course, therefore, people who hear him are astonished at his answers. And indeed, may we also be astonished that when we listen to Christ, when we say, Lord God, would you speak to me today? May we be astonished at the answers that we hear. May we be able to hear the understanding of scripture as it is revealed to us. His parents, Mary and Joseph, find him. The parents see him. They are astonished. And Mary says to him, Son, why have you treated us so? You should have been with us. That you might be able to translate it as. That we've been searching all over for you. Where have you been? And the response of Jesus, of course, is one which we know quite well. Surely you knew that I would be in my Father's house. Why are you looking for me? This is where I should be, in my Father's house. Indeed, there are later times in Jesus' ministry throughout elsewhere within the Gospels, where Jesus would be in the temple to teach, to speak to people, to do all sorts of wonders among the people. Of course, even from this young age, of course, Jesus is going to be in his Father's house. That is exactly where he should be. But we also notice something about Mary and Joseph as well. Verse 50. They did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. We also find this kind of phrase elsewhere within Scripture as well, within the Gospels, where it says that Jesus would speak to the disciples and they didn't understand it. There was Scripture that was quoted and they didn't understand why Jesus is quoting this Scripture. It's only at a later stage that it is revealed to them, that understanding comes to them. My friends, sometimes when we read Scripture, we may struggle with it. We may not understand things that we read. We may think, I can't understand this. Throughout this year, for the first time in my Christian life, I've managed to read, or I'm just about to finish reading, the Bible all the way through. And I really encourage you for this coming year to do so. Yes, it can be hard. Yes, it can be difficult. But I will assure you that by reading Scripture, you will see the illumination of God throughout Scripture. But there are some passages that are really hard for me. I've really struggled reading Ezekiel. I've really struggled with some of that. Daniel as well. Some of the things there are very difficult because they're painting a picture of a scene. I saw this. It looks like this. I really struggle with that. Some of you might immediately, as you're reading that, you recognize it immediately. But there are some things that I haven't understood. But I do believe that as we come to Christ, as we say, Lord, would you speak to me through Scripture, that even if not today, at some point in the future, we will understand. Perhaps as we come back to Scripture a second time, perhaps as we're out and about and something happens and suddenly it clicks within us, and we understand what we read some time ago. Whatever it may be, may there be understanding for us. That as we read Scripture, whether in part or whenever we read it, even if we do not understand something, may God speak to us. And may God reveal to us what he is saying to us by his Holy Spirit. It's at this point then that Luke returns the story to Jesus going down with them, that is to leave Jerusalem and come to Nazareth, and is submissive to them. This is an interesting little point that Luke makes here, is that Jesus continued to be obedient, to be submissive to Mary and Joseph in that family unit. And we also find something else here though as well. His mother Mary treasured up these things in her heart. As I was studying for this sermon today, that verse, that phrase, leapt off the page, because as I've preached recently, that has also come up. And you may have, as that was said, perhaps you thought, oh, we've read that phrase before. When we think about, again, they're both in Luke chapter 2, where we find Luke chapter 2, verse 19, the story of the shepherds leaving the hill, the hillside, coming to the stable to find Jesus. And this is what it says: but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. We also find the same situation in verse 33 of Luke chapter 2. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And then we find this phrase again, verse 50. His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. We've also read about that they were astonished at what had happened. My friends, this year, whatever has happened throughout 2019, we might look back with fondness. We might look back and think, this year that's just gone was a good year. There were some good things that happened. But likewise, we might also look back with great sadness, a great reflection. We might think, this last year was difficult. This last year was hard. as we look forward to this coming year, may we treasure up the good things that God has done in our lives. Even if this year has been difficult, may we still treasure up what God has done. May we thank him for his faithfulness, even during our most difficult times. May we thank him for his comfort when we needed it. May we thank him for his presence when we may have felt times of loneliness. But then also may we be able to continue being in astonishment at the things that God will do throughout this year. We do not know the future, God does. And so may we look ahead knowing that whatever happens in the future, that we are going to look forward to what God is going to do. Now there may be some things that are coming up this year, and you know that this year is going to be difficult. Perhaps there is a contract in your work that's coming to an end. Perhaps there is some other uncertainty. Perhaps there is some difficulty and you're thinking, we just don't know what is going to happen. Perhaps there is an imminent departing of a loved one. You may not know the future, but we can know that God does, and that we can place our complete trust in him. We can place our comfort in him, that our knowledge can be in him. That we are going to, that this coming year, as has gone and as is going to come, that we treasure up the things that God has done within us, and also that we look forward to him doing miraculous things. That we look forward to his power being demonstrated in and through us, and that we will marvel at the things that he is going to do. We also find then this last verse, that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favour with God and man. This is something that we see repeated earlier actually within Luke chapter 2 as well, that of course Jesus grew up. Jesus didn't stay in the manger, didn't stay in the stable, but has grown up. We've seen him here at age 12. We see him elsewhere in the Gospels during his earthly time of ministry. And we also know, though, that there is something else that Jesus is heading toward. He's heading toward the cross. The pinnacle of our salvation, the focus of our salvation. Yes, of course, we remember the incarnation. We remember God and man, the God-man Jesus Christ. But we also remember the cross as well. That it is through the cross that we are saved. The death of Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. To show his power over sin and death itself. And so my friends, as we come toward our close, may we look back and be able to store up and treasure the things that God has done. May we look forward with expectation of what God is going to do, that we know that there is going to be an amazement before us, that there is going to be astonishment before us. We are just yet to wait for it. But also, that may we take example from Mary and Joseph, that we do not assume that Jesus is with us. Is he with us? Yes, of course he is, to the very end of the age. But we don't assume that he's just there sort of with us in our midst. That we diligently search for him. Just as Mary and Joseph did. Searching for Jesus. Going where they had to go if necessary. Searching for 3 days until they ultimately find him in the temple. May that be with us. That we search for Jesus. That we read the scripture with great anticipation that God will reveal Jesus to us. That we will see Jesus through the scripture, even in more difficult passages, even including throughout the Old Testament, that we will see Jesus. May we search for him. We had a scripture earlier which was shared, and I hadn't discussed this with Andy, but I'm thank you that he shared this, which is from Jeremiah 29 verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. My friends, may we search for Jesus this year. May we know that he is with us. Yes, absolutely. But may we want to press in to Christ. May we pray regularly to him. May we bury our heads in Scripture. May we dig the depths of Scripture, wanting to dig and to be able to bring up the glory of God from Scripture. Yes, my friends, we may find it difficult sometimes to read Scripture. You may believe that you're not a very good reader, but I would encourage you to do what you can in terms of studying the Scripture, because when we do so, we will see Christ. So, my friends, just as we come to this close then, may we know this year that God is with us. May we search for him, and may we know that, yes, he is with us, but may we know him all the more throughout this coming year. And may we have our spiritual eyes, ears, heart open to what he is going to do, and may we be ready to marvel at the wonders that he is yet to perform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, may you encourage us this year regarding your word. May it not be a book that sits on a shelf and gathers dust. May it not be something that we just bring to church to make ourselves look good. Lord, may we open it, and may we know that we are reading Scripture. We are reading the very word of God that has been preserved for our encouragement and for our guidance. Lord, this year, as we come to the close of 2019, Lord God, may you help us to reflect back on this year that has passed. But may we not dwell in the past. May we be able to treasure up the things that you have done. But Lord, also would you help us to look forward to what you are going to do and what you are doing right now, even if we are unaware of it. Lord, may we know throughout this coming year that you are going to perform great things in and through us. Not for our glory, not to us, O Lord, but to you be the glory. Lord, may all the glory go back to you. Lord, as we think about perhaps those things that recently we've been thinking about and saying, Lord God, when are you going to do those things? When are you going to make that breakthrough? Lord, may we know that it is going to be in this year. That person that we've been praying for salvation for, may we know that it is coming this year. Where there has been that breakthrough, where we've had that real difficulty, may we know that it is coming this year. May we look forward to the expectation of what you are going to do. Lord, we pray this in and through the mighty, precious name of Jesus. Amen.